Every time I sit down to do a podcast, I am trying to figure out what kind of information can I offer you that will make you a better investor? Or if you're trying to help others, that will help you be a better teacher. And it isn't easy because, well, first of all, it's kind of hard to come up with new ideas that you haven't said a dozen times before. I know Jason Zweig, who writes for the Wall Street Journal and is one of the truth tellers, as far as I'm concerned, he said he's written the same article like 100 times, only has found new ways to tell it. And I suspect that what he's hoping is that something in the new telling will give people a perspective that makes them a better investor. And it really, if you think about it, that perspective is very, very important. In a couple of weeks, I will be interviewing Paul Hayes, who has written a book. It's been around for a couple of years. I finally convinced him to give it away so that it could get hopefully passed along to other people in your family. But it's about spending your way to wealth. And in fact, then he puts a little S in parens, because that spending your way to wealth is not just about financial wealth, but lots of different kinds of wealth that he talks about. But what he is talking about that's different than what we typically talk about is he talks about investor returns. I teach, Chris teaches, Daryl teaches about investment returns. In other words, the returns that people would have achieved if they had been there and done it, and been, for example, a good buy and holder as opposed to chickening out along the way. And so what Paul is trying to teach is help investors be a better investor, have the habits and the discipline of what a good investor looks like. And then hopefully we will be able to show you what's a good investment to be in if you will be a good investor. So they are two very different things. And I think when I have my conversation with Paul, I'm going to make it very clear. I think his task of helping people is way more complex than ours, because we're talking about how people feel. We're talking about the more intuitive side of life. And what Chris and Daryl and I are trying to do is we're trying to get you to look at those numbers, make the commitment based on what I'm going to, for the next few minutes, call a guarantee. I would love to be able to say, I guarantee. And by the way, if we look at what the word guarantee means, if you look in the synonyms, I promise. Well, wait a minute. People say I promise all the time, but then they don't fulfill their promise. And yet when they made the promise, they felt that way to assure somebody, to ensure. But this guarantee, I think if the probabilities are high enough in our favor, that I would be willing to say guarantee, understanding that you would understand that absolutely no one knows the future. And for anybody to say they'll guarantee anything is, when I say folly, it is subject to changes. As a matter of fact, when they write the contract, there are all sorts of reasons that they don't have to fulfill the contract, like if it has something to do with God, has caused bad weather, and it's out of your control. to fulfill your guarantee. So before I'm done, and I hope you enjoy this one, before I'm done, I'm going to make a guarantee that is just the opposite of what Wall Street says they guarantee, is just the opposite of what the academics say they would be willing to say they guarantee. So I'm going to have some fun. Maybe I'm stretching things from time to time when I use the word guarantee, but my goal will be to tell you why I believe so strongly that if you had to make a decision whether to go left or right at the fork, that it would sound like going one way is a whole lot better. And maybe if the period is long enough and civilization survives, then yes, it will be true. So let's see if I'm stretching things here. And let me talk now. I'm talking about investing. That's what we want to talk about. And we want to talk about guarantees. Now, here's a couple of really easy ones. Guaranteed better return. If you're in a CD at a bank that has the FDIC guarantee, and you limit the amount of money you put in so that the government is behind it, and the bank guarantees it along with the government, if one organization is promising a 4 or 5% return and another is promising 2 or 3%, I think it would be easy to say, I guarantee this return will be better than the other. And of course, it's an easy thing to do. Is you, as an investor, you just have to go to the internet, maybe go to bankrate.com and find out who's paying the most in terms of CD returns. So there's one, CDs. You could do the same thing with money markets. And they're very different instruments, as we know. Certainly different, not as different as a stock from a bond. But CDs have a maturity that are associated with them. So you can actually be penalized if you want to get out on a short-term basis. But the money market fund, you can get out whenever you want. But again, you can go to bankrate.com and find out who's paying the best money market rates and guarantee that you are doing better than somebody else. So those first two, that's pretty easy. And the next one is pretty easy too, and that is, I feel comfortable saying that if two funds own exactly the same assets, let's say two S&P 500 funds, and one has a higher expense ratio, that over time, the one with the higher expense ratio will make less than the one with the lower expense ratio. I guarantee it. And I got to tell you, I just get mad as hops when I see these unfortunate teachers who, what they have available for an S&P 500 fund, it could even be a Vanguard S&P 500, but the system has built in an extra 1% for the people who are bringing it to them. Well, they're socking it to them is what they're doing, but they have a future of getting lower returns, of course, because of that higher expense. And I absolutely believe that over the long term, those mutual funds, everything else being equal, that have more turnover, buying and selling inside of the funds, are going to lead to lower rates of return. Now, that's a very high probability. Now, it isn't so easy to find two funds that are exactly alike, okay? So that is, a challenge to say I guarantee, but here's what I do know. I do know that extra turnover costs you in terms of commissions and to make the trades and the spread between the bid and ask. And also, those trades, if we're inside of a taxable account, are going to lead to taxable events, which means not only do you have the additional expenses of the buying and the selling, but you're going to have to pay more in taxes. Now, here's a tricky one. Index investing versus active management. It is difficult to say, seems unfair to say, that I could guarantee that an index fund is going to outperform the actively managed fund. Now, there are a lot of variables that could make that so, but let's just make sure we're looking at all of the reasons it is such a difficult climb for active management. Number one, you have less diversification and you've got more risk. Number two, active management implies turnover. And so that means there are going to be costs of managing the portfolio. And as I said a minute ago, if you have a lot of turnover in a taxable account, you could be reducing your return by 1 to 1.5% a year just because of the taxes that it's going to cost. And you also have the problem of how few people are able to beat the market under any condition. By the way, that's professional or amateur. Yes, some do, but it's a very small percentage. And the problem is that we don't know any way up front to know which one it is. So I am happy or comfortable saying, I guarantee that nobody can tell you which of all of those actively managed funds are going to give a better rate of return than the index. And here is the killer, not even counting the potential tax impact. There is a possibility, not guaranteed, that just the selection that by chance one puts together to build the actively managed fund could underperform the market by as much as 2% a year. On top of all the other things that are standing in the way of your long-term success, which is why index funds are such a powerful way for you to invest. And then there's the people who decide to buy and hold versus those who are going to spend their time market timing. And I'm particularly talking about the people whose market timing is completely intuitive. It just feels like the market is overpriced, or it just feels like what's going on in Gaza is going to just blow out of control and all of a sudden we're going to have a bigger war. Whatever the story is, all of the history of investing seems to suggest, now I don't know if the word guaranteed is fair, but those people who simply put their money to work in this broadly diversified portfolio, again, thinking in terms of indexes, just staying the course is the highest probability of success. Can I say it's guaranteed? Well, I would say from everything I know, which really takes me to the next decision, and that is stocks versus bonds. I feel comfortable saying that over the long term, that people are guaranteed to get a better rate of return in a portfolio, an index-built portfolio of equities over a 30, 40, 50-year period compared to bonds. Now, when I say I guarantee it, I'm 80 years old. I'm not going to be around to pay you off on the bet. But I can tell you all of the history we have says that those stocks are going to do better than bonds. Probably the thing that makes me most nervous about saying that I guarantee that stocks will do better than bonds, particularly after inflation, over a long period of time, I'm talking again 30, 40, 50 years, but I could also say that I guarantee that eventually the stock market will collapse. every stock market has, over the long term, been through a major collapse, including the U.S. market and every other market. By the way, the collapse of a diversified portfolio in the period going back into the late 20s, let's say 29 to 38, you saw a loss of about over 90% in small cap value, and over 80%, I think 83% was the worst point with the what was a lookalike of the S&P 500. So that's another guarantee, I guess, we could make. And here's a guarantee I think you might find interesting. Most people do not realize that when you make a lump sum investment, let's say $100, and you leave it in whatever you invested in for 90 years, and you don't add any money, you don't take any money out, a lot of people don't realize that it does not matter when the bad or the good years come. In fact, it doesn't matter what the market does in terms of sequence of returns, whether it falls 50% in the last year or the first year or the middle year, whether it has 10 years in a row of good returns in the early years or the latter years or the middle years, it doesn't matter. Because the sequence of return with a lump sum investment is exactly the same, regardless of how that sequence rolls out. On the other hand, I can guarantee it will be different if you were adding money to the portfolio or taking money out of the portfolio. But on a true lump sum investment, it doesn't matter when the good and bad returns happen. And I guarantee, if you dollar cost average into a broadly diversified portfolio, not a single stock, because a single stock can often go totally out of business, but if you are dollar cost averaging, I guarantee when the price is down, you will buy more shares. And when the price is up, you will buy fewer shares. And by the way, I think it's also possible. In fact, I guarantee it's possible that you could have luck. And the luck would lead you to a lottery ticket winner. A luck could lead you to the stock, the individual stock that changes your life. Luck is a big deal. Where you're born in the world is a big deal. What your parents had is a big deal. What your parents do for you, make sure you get a good education. All these things are big deals. So there's a lot of the success in life that is about luck, and I can guarantee that as well. And finally, I want to address a term, a phrase that is commonly used about investments. Somebody, whether it's a financial firm or a financial educator, we're not in the business of managing money. We're not in the business of giving people personal advice. We are simply educators. But we have this same obligation, and that is to always warn people that past results are not guaranteed to be like past returns. Well, I want to change that. I want to change your thinking about that, because I would like all of us to understand that, in fact, future results will look like past results. Nobody can know the sequence of returns. But from everything we know about the past, there will be good times, there will be bad times. There will be periods when the news is really good, but the market collapses. There'll be periods when the news is really bad, but the market does well. There will be times you'll invest in a company and it does well for reasons that are totally unrelated to the reason that you invested in it. And if in the discussion of these guaranteed decisions, I have gone out of the lines and gone too far in saying, I guarantee, I guess I would want to say the probabilities are significantly in your best interest if you go the direction of what over the long term I think are high probabilities of success. But as I said in the beginning, these kinds of decisions are fairly easy because the evidence is built in most cases on the math and the academic research as to how things have worked out over the long run. And the hard part, the really difficult part, is for people to deal with not the investment challenges, but the investor challenges. And I do hope that you will take advantage of the free PDF that's available. You'll see the link in the notes, and then join me when I interview Paul Hayes about his thoughts on how people can learn to maybe follow us and make the right investment decisions and follow the thinking of the folks who have studied the biases and the intuitional kinds of decisions that a lot of investors make and see what we can do to improve those in the same way that we might look at lower expenses or lower taxes or more diversification or index versus active, because these decisions are to be made. And I think, as we know from the past, there are things we can do to make the outcome better. And I hope that we help in that process. Thank you.
That was Paul Merriman with Sound Investing. Sound Investing, soundinvesting.com, and paulmerriman.com are produced and exclusively owned by Paul Merriman, who is solely responsible for their content. For more information, free articles, mutual fund recommendations, and more, visit paulmerriman.com.